Hello again, and thank you for joining us on the Providence College Podcast. I'm Charlie Joyce, your host today, and I'm joined by our producer, Chris Judge, of the class of 2005. Our guest today is Peggy Martin Weber, a graduate of the class of 1976. Peggy retired in 2016 as an award-winning journalist in Catholic communications for the Diocese of Springfield, Massachusetts. She spent most of her career with the diocese as a reporter, columnist, and television producer. She continues to work as a freelance reporter and recently wrote her first book, Enough As You Are, which was published in December by Loyola Press. At PC, Peggy majored in English, wrote for the Call for 3 years, and was a member of the Liberal Arts Honors Program. She holds a master's degree in journalism from Marquette University and is the proud mother of three friars, Carrie, Matthew, and Elizabeth, of the classes of 2004, 2006, and 2010, respectively. Welcome to the Providence College Podcast, Peggy.
Go Friars. I'm so happy to be with you.
And congratulations on writing your first book.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I imagine after spending so much time in your life working for the Catholic media, that there must have been a sense of satisfaction to be able to write a book, do something more personal. Was there not?
Well, there was and there wasn't. And there was certainly a sense of satisfaction to have my first long-form book published by someone as significant as Loyola Press. But all along, I have always gone out to a story and then sort of seen the side story. So for almost 30 years, I wrote a column called Spun from the Web, where I provided narrative or folksy stories or inspiration. Now, I'll give you an example. This is what started my whole column. We were lucky enough to have two Nobel Prize winners, women from Northern Ireland, who were involved in the peace process. The area of Western Massachusetts that I live in has a large Irish population. So I did the story and I interviewed these women about peace. But when I left, I thought, they're winning the Nobel Prize, getting peace between Protestants and Catholics. I said, what am I doing for peace? And I realized, well, I don't let Matthew, little Matthew was probably two at the time, have guns, so I'm doing something well. And the next day, he bit into his grilled cheese sandwich, looked at it, pointed at me and went, flop. So I was shot with a grilled cheese sandwich. So I realized there's way more than just not letting them have guns. There's more to talk about with peace and violence. And so I wrote that as a commentary and it was a big hit. And from there, I love stories and I love telling stories. So I incorporate that in part, but I did have a steep learning curve in writing a book because journalists are like, just get to the point, you know, go with the, get ready to get cut at the bottom. So I was grateful for all the people at Loyola who guided me through the process.
And this book, Enough As You Are, really is a fun read, Peggy. It's descriptive, it's anecdotal. It speaks to readers really about common life issues, as you well know. That title is intriguing, and every chapter ends with the word enough. How did you come up with this concept, and what do you mean by enough?
Well, the concept, honestly, it sounds too holy, but it was divinely inspired. And I mean this sincerely, that after I retired, Matthew and Carrie both have written books for Loyola. So Loyola said, well, now that you're retired, would you consider, you know, pitching an idea to us? But you can't just say, yes, I'd like to write a book and not have an idea. And it was my daughter Carrie's son, Killian's first birthday. We were down in New Jersey. And of course, his birthday happened to fall on Good Friday. And so I went down to the nearby church. Everyone was dealing with naps and other things. And I'm sitting there and they're talking about how Jesus died for us. And you're nodding. And then I realized, I kind of thought, even me? And there's that little sense of doubt where you don't think you're quite worthy. Even we say that prayer. But I thought, well, when I go to heaven, if I get there, I'm just going to kind of squeeze in like I'm in a subway car and hope the good Lord doesn't notice me. Like, coming in, yep, I'm with them. Yep, okay, thanks, Lord. And then I went back to the house and we had a simple celebration with cheese pizza and a birthday cake. And Carrie looked at me and said, do you think I'm doing enough for Killian's first birthday? And of course, you realize some people have like ponies and clowns and themes. And I've even heard of gift registries for first birthdays. Mm-hmm. And I said, of course you're doing enough. You're loving him. You're taking care of him. And I realized all of us have that. We don't feel holy enough. We don't feel smart enough. We don't feel like a good enough parent. We don't know if we're impressive enough with our titles. And then it just sort of boom, boom, boom. And I just started making notes. And I did brainstorming with Loyola, with Joella and the president and publisher. And we got more interaction with the readers with questions at the end. And then quotes popped up, saintly stories popped up, and then boom, you know, it's sort of like I threw this recipe for a book together with a lot of help and wonderful ingredients. And that's how it came about.
It's that's a wonderful story, by the way. You know, the book really is as much about interpersonal and social issues as it is about your faith. You know, you address topics like friendship, social media, mental well-being, and you back it up with research, as any good writer and journalist would. What did you really hope to accomplish in writing it, Peggy?
When I go out to speak, which I'm a hit at all ladies' guilds in the Diocese of Springfield, but other places, I like to tell them that my book is a giant hug to people, because I feel that every single one of us has this nagging doubt that we're not enough. And we either can listen to the voice of God that says, you are my child, you are my beloved, you are the person I created, and I love you just as you are. Or we can listen to social media, ads. You know, I hold up a magazine. How to lose 28 pounds in 5 days. How to get rid of all aches and pains. How to make $100 extra a week. How to do this and that. And then and then you click on Facebook, and if you post something, you're like, I didn't get any likes. Or if you don't post something, you go, oh, there they go with a new vacation or a new car. So that's one of my chapters, Stuff Enough, you know, and you could be haunted by that. And so I think with age comes wisdom. I just want everyone to just relax, and they don't need to be slugs. It doesn't mean you can't lose weight or improve yourself or exercise, but just to say for today, I am enough. I am so glad to be where I am and who I am. And I will take on the challenges of the day, but I'm not always going to be feeling anxious or worthless. And, you know, you talk about statistics, 56% increase in youth suicide. They had to create a minister of loneliness in Great Britain because people are so devoid of human interaction. That's very telling. And so therefore, I just want to say, hey, come here. You're okay. Come on, sweetie. Don't worry about it. And I think that comes from my maternal way, but it also comes from my assurance that I still profoundly, despite all the, you know, the trials and tribulations of our church, I still profoundly believe in the love of God.
Yeah, you know, you really have a very personal and emotional attachment in this book, and it comes through with the writing. You know, it's funny. There's a really interesting structure to Enough As You Are, Peggy. The chapters start with a quote from St. Francis de Sales, who's the patron saint of Catholic writers and the Catholic press. And each chapter ends in, I consider it kind of an intriguing and a very similar fashion. Talk to us about those elements and the structure of the book itself, and maybe the why behind those decisions.
Well, of course, as a Catholic journalist, I've always been a fan of St. Francis de Sales. And one of his big quotes that I like is, be who you are and be that perfectly well. And I like to say that he was Mr. Rogers in the 1500s, long before Fred and his little, you know, cardigan sweaters. And he tried to tell everyone in that era, you all have a path to holiness, which was unusual back then, of course, because they thought only nuns and priests could be holy. And he also tried to convince the Calvinists to come back to the church. And he wrote like treatises and put them under, that's how, where the writing comes from. He put them under the doors of people. But he also approached them with kindness and love, not antagonism. So I take quotes from him because he just has this, you know, so many, he's like a quote a minute. And he's also just very kind. And so that's where I start off. Then in the middle, I use a saintly inspiration for each story where it's a saint that represents the quality I'm trying to do. And then because, of course, with Loyola Press and the Jesuits, with all due respect, there's tons of Dominican stuff in this book, but... I did also go to Marquette for graduate school, and I love the Examen because it's every night you sit down and you think about your day, what you did, what you could do better, how you can make amends, and what you can do tomorrow. And so we use that format, and then I actually list some resolutions. For instance, you know, if you think you have enough stuff, you know, just don't use your credit card for one day or don't buy something. And for some people, they're like, oh, that's no big deal. But for others, you know, honestly, I love junk stores. And I came home the other day and I said to Elizabeth, I actually went by the job lot and didn't buy anything. And she said, good for you, Mom.
You mentioned the exam, and that's the Ignatian exam. Is that correct? Right. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
You made brief reference to saints, and obviously particularly St. Francis de Sales. But how did you choose the chapter themes and particular saints, Peggy?
Well, I'm a baseball fan, and I'm also a saint fan. So I've always loved the saints. And I mean, for instance, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, her last name was Martin, and that's my maiden name, of course. So I've been a fan of her since, like, seriously, sixth grade, and they had a big statue of her in our church. But I also, just in my work, have encountered so many saints, some more obscure and some less. But, for instance, when I talk about André Brissette, he had relatives that were in our diocese. Or when I talk about Jean Jougan, who was founder of the Little Sisters of the Poor, I happen to do a story down at that monastery. And convent, I mean. So I knew that. But I also tried to pick ones that just seemed to fit. I mean, what better saint for friendship than St. Maximilian Kolbe, who took the place of a man in the concentration camps and said, I will stand in for you. I mean, lay down your life. That's a friend. So some of them came to me. Some I researched a little. But I guess I've always been a saint fan. And they're also all human and humbling. They're not like, you know, I'm perfect, you know, and St. Anthony, he's always helping me find my car keys, but I learned more about him. They had a relic that came to our diocese and I had to do research about him. It's just great learning about these people.
You know, some of your undergraduate experiences are referenced in the book, and obviously you had a pretty profound experience here at the college. Tell us about those.
Okay. That's why I say the Dominicans are in there, because I actually went through the book and realized that there are significant stories about PC in three of the 11 major chapters. So, you know, you get quite the shout out. But I think one of my favorite stories that comes out of that is the chapter called Smart Enough. So, you know, you say in the introduction, and she was a member of the Arts Honors Program, right? You know, and so somebody might say, oh, wow. But the first night our Arts Honors Program met, we were in the basement of St. Stephen Hall, and Father Thomas Cosgren, now the kids are like, what? He's smoking a cigarette, you know, and the drinking age was 18. I believe, I'm not sure. Some nights there was beverages there, adult beverages at our seminars. But he's there and he goes, good evening and welcome. I'd like you to go around the room, tell me your name, where you're from, and something you're really interested in, you know. So then you're like, oh my gosh, what am I interested in that's going to sound smart, right? And you're just sitting there and I'm not even listening to names. And people are going around and people are saying sort of interesting things, but nothing that like knocked my socks off, but also nothing that made me want to say, yeah, me too. Then the girl next to me, whose father happened to be a professor, looks and says, my name is so-and-so, and I'm interested in the Renaissance. And I'm like, the Renaissance? I'm in my head, this bubble thought's going, the Renaissance? I don't even think I can spell that. Who's interested in the Renaissance? So Father Cosgren looks at her and thinks, I'm going to challenge her a bit. And he says, well, what kind of Renaissance? Oh, she said, specifically the Italian Renaissance. And she spoke Italian. I'm just sitting there going, I am so in the shallow end of this pool. I don't even think I should be in this room. And then, of course, Father Cosgren turns to me. But I also could be kind of stubborn, kind of a wise guy at times. And I look at him, I go, my name is Peggy Martin. I'm from Springfield, Massachusetts. And I'm interested in baseball, specifically the Red Sox. Well, the kids all laughed. And he looked at me like, I gotta keep my eye on you, miss. You know. But I also realized, though, that experience with my youth, I went to college at 17, made me realize I felt I wasn't smart enough for this crew. So they'd be like, everyone can go to the opera this weekend. I'd be like, I'm not going to the opera. I don't know anything about opera. You know, and I think that intellectually, I might have known, yeah, I have decent enough grades, but emotionally, I always felt like I wasn't smart enough. And, you know, people would say, look at your grades, look at your life, you know, and I think we can do that to ourselves I'm not marred for life. I figured things out along the way when I went to graduate school, but at the time, you can kind of just look around. And then I realized that's the trouble with comparison, you know, and then I grew to realize everyone has different abilities and different intellects and different gifts and different kinds of intelligence. You know, I cite Howard Gardner with multiple intelligences, but a 70-year-old kid fresh out of never away from home sitting there with a kid that's like interested in the Renaissance is just, that was one of my PC stories. So, and the other one was when, yes, I got kicked out of a bar, but not for any disorderly behavior, but As I said, the drinking age is 18. We went with our IDs down to the Raskeller, which used to be down in the bottom of Slavin. And he lets us all in, looks at our IDs. We're so proud. These new girls I had just met 2 days before. And then he stops and says, and you're all 18, right? And I'm not a very good liar. And I went, I will be in like a couple of weeks, and I'm just going to have a soda. And he threw me out. He said, nope, I can't let you in. And I looked at the girls and said, see you later. And I thought, well, this is a fine start to college. But the girls all turned around and came out with me. And I thought, they don't even know me. And it was just such a wonderful, affirming, loyal, loving friar thing to do. And I'm still best friends with one of those girls to this day. And just someone I had known 2 days. I mean, I had come from, you know, not knowing anyone. No girls from my high school came. And it was such a wonderful experience. And that's in my chapter, Friends Enough. And I talk about how, you know, I can tell you the Renaissance story kind of made me go one way, but the other way made me just feel like this is home. This is a place of love. These people are great. And so that's in my Friends Enough chapter.
And that, Peggy, that was your very first weekend at Providence College, was it not?
It was. Yeah.
That's pretty phenomenal. That's a great story. You know, you've always been close to your alma mater, as have your children. PC was a solid foundation for much of your personal and professional life. What was it not?
I cannot begin to tell you how much I love Providence College, not just because it nurtured my children and made them grow in their intellect and faith, but I don't even think I knew it at the time. But when I first got to PC, I came from a fairly religious family, not like, you know, over the head, hit you over the head, just sort of like, we love God. Yeah, let's serve the church. My mother was just so kind, took in everybody, fed everybody. And then I often attended daily mass through high school. And when I got to PC, I was like, I'm still going to go to Sunday mass, but I don't have to go to daily mass anymore. You know, I'm a big college girl. And then there was something missing. And of course, I was a little homesick. And I found myself drawn, I think it was 4:30 mass in Aquinas Chapel. I just started going every day. And I loved it. And I loved the Dominicans. And I loved their homilies. And I loved how God was infused in so many of my classes. I mean, Renee Fortin just made God come alive. Ryan Barber just was like this model of a good Catholic man. And I look back and I think, I was just like soaked. I was just like dunked, not at the dunk, although I was the first class to graduate from there. I was just immersed in a beautiful spiritual life, but I didn't even know I was getting hit over the head with it. It just was natural. It was like breathing. And they also opened my mind, obviously, with such great classes. And it stayed with me. It's just stayed with me. And then to watch my children have fairly similar experiences, despite the many years between, has just been a gift.
And a few of them actually have ended up, too, in a similar field in terms of communications that you ended up in, correct?
Yes. Carrie is an executive editor at America Magazine. She did a year of volunteer work on a reservation, a Navajo reservation, then worked for Catholic Digest, then got her master's from Columbia in journalism, and now is down in New York, well, works in New York City, lives in New Jersey. And she's just done amazing work. And then Matthew is in communications. He did a sidelight and actually won an Emmy for his work on Catholic TV, but left Harvard and is now the assistant to the president at UVA. And has also written 2 books through Loyola. And so he's in communications. And my brilliant philosopher, Elizabeth, is a mom with 3 little kids, ages 5, 3, and 1. And she's also running a catechesis of the Good Shepherd program at her parish and is just an amazing and inspiring young lady. So
wonderful, wonderful. Was it clear to you when you graduated from here that you wanted to go into journalism or communications and specifically the Catholic media?
No, not at all. I liked writing. I always liked it. But I still was like, what do I want to do? It was sort of in the back of my head, but I didn't know how to do it. And I didn't know what approach to take. So I actually taught high school for 2 years. I taught religion and English at a Catholic high school in my diocese. And first year I applied, even though when I was teaching, and I got into Columbia, but there was no money available. And then as we talk about divine providence at all times, I applied the second year out to Marquette. And being an East Coast person, I actually had to look up where Milwaukee was on the map. And I ended up being offered, the teaching actually was enhanced my application, and they offered me a teaching assistantship there. So I was able to get a degree from Marquette, but Marquette is actually has always been like sort of the hub of Catholic journalists. And so from there, it just sort of spilled together. And I wrote for the secular press out there as well, and I covered fires and the police beat and all sorts of other things. But I always went back to my faith. And so I worked for the Milwaukee Catholic Herald for a while. I got to meet Mother Teresa at a press conference and ask a really bad question. then I went out to out here and got involved with the Catholic press here. And there you have it.
You had multiple roles, I should say, with Springfield. Give us a little synopsis of your career in with the diocese there.
Well, I was first just a freelance reporter with two small children. Then I went on staff. Then I mostly was a feature writer, but would cover hard news at times. And then we merged with the television side, so I had to learn a whole new medium. And so I became a television producer, and then I ended up being an associate producer of the television mass, and then social media came along, and I had to do that. And but fortunately, I have children that could guide. Actually, the teacher became the student, and they helped me along the way. And so I've really done a lot with them, and I'm exceptionally grateful to the Diocese of Springfield and the Office of Catholic Communications. They've supported me with this book, and they just have always been flexible with my ability to do my work and raise a family.
You've dialed back a bit now, of course, on your professional life, Peggy, but I would imagine with seven grandchildren, days are still full for you and your husband, John. What's life like for you now?
Oh, it varies every day. On Tuesday, I was mucking about in the woods, which is not my favorite place to be, with our three of my local grandchildren with this nature classroom, just so that one didn't fall off a cliff or go through into the pond. So sometimes I'm helping out or just, you know, enjoying life with my daughter Elizabeth and her children. Other times I'm doing radio shows. Other times I'm still writing. I do freelance reporting for the diocese. And I am trying to do good things in a good way. And and that's actually part of my last chapter, when you're trying to sort out who you are at this point in life and how are you going to communicate what you want to do with the rest of your years. I'm making 5 talks in March, you know, so I go out and talk to people. And I bake a lot. I knit. I enjoy still staying in touch with my friends. I travel, obviously, down to Virginia and New Jersey occasionally. And overall, I'm not going to be one of those people that's going to like start a soup kitchen. I'll make something for it. But I think I'm just going to live out my faith the way that I know best and the way I'm most comfortable.
Peggy, I tell you, in listening, it's just a true pleasure. I mean, your Catholic faith, your zest for life, your energy, you know, are just amazing. Again, congratulations on your book, and thanks so much for being our guest on the podcast today.
Oh, Charlie, I am so delighted that PC is honoring me with this opportunity. I still, you know, I was thinking about it driving home from, I was helping my daughter at her program this morning. I was driving home to be on time for you. And I was thinking, I live in the city where I went to high school, and I'm probably in touch religiously with one friend total. But I can tick off about 8 to 10 people I'm in touch with from PC still, and some of them on a very regular basis. And it's so hard to describe it. It is such a blessed place. It's obviously not perfect, but it's just something where God's grace does shine on it. And the relationships and the culture there are such that, for the most part, they're so affirming. And it's a joy to be back at PC, even via a podcast, and say hello to the class of 1976 and of before and beyond, and to the classes of my children, because I just feel honored.
Great. It's a joy to speak with you. And again, thank you kindly. And thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us on the Providence College podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast in all the usual places: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and YouTube. Thanks again to our producer, Chris Judge. I'm Charlie Joyce. Until next time.